So, Mr. Jack Grace, Martini Cowboy, our good friend, Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Thank you, and a very happy, merry this and that to you and everyone.
I guess a musical guy such as yourself spends Christmas Eve out caroling among the picturesque byways of Norman Rockwell, America. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly what happens, John.
And like all musicians, you hold it as a personal spiritual duty to bring holiday cheer and good wishes to people everywhere, no?
In my own way, yes, that's what happens.
Yeah. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men is what gets you musicians out of bed in these holidays of song and sentiment, right?
Yes, that, and getting paid doesn't hurt at all.
And I understand you wrote a song for us this morning on The Takeaway.
Yes, I did. It goes like this. Santa Claus, won't you shoot my balls for Christmas? He's a really bad boy, don't deserve no toys at all. Santa Claus, won't you shoot...
Jack, couldn't you have just stuck to Jingle Bells or Frosty this morning?
No can do, Hockenberry. Is this a union gig?
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Wednesday and it's Christmas Eve. That means it's December 24th. And I think Jack Grace is actually putting me in the holiday spirit.
Jack Grace,
there's
is
no
in the
good
house.
In being Scrooge on Christmas Eve.
That is true. Good morning, Adora.
Good morning, everyone. This hour, we're going to look at why finding out where the Bush administration bailout money has gone is so hard. We'll be asking some tough questions about that. And music composed by, you could say, Phish. A few pages for America's briefing book on the economy and national security. Those stories are coming up first, these headlines.
So major travel delays in the Midwest and the Northwest. Hundreds of flights have been canceled around the country. A dozen deaths are blamed on dangerous roads. Check the forecast. Even if the weather's good at your airport, you're going to have to deal with security. Transportation Security Administration spokeswoman Ellen Howe says they plan all year for the holiday crowds.
The holidays for us are like our version of the Super Bowl.
If it doesn't feel like a tailgate party standing in line for the TSA, maybe they should serve guacamole.
Guacamole, okay. A long-awaited report on the Obama transition team, their contacts with Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is out. Incoming White House counsel Greg Craig says none of the president-elect's people did anything wrong.
We are satisfied there was nothing inappropriate that took place here, either in terms of conversations or communications or contacts.
The report says incoming White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel was the only transition staffer to talk directly with Governor Blagojevich. The president-elect, meanwhile, is in Hawaii for the Christmas holiday. Yesterday, he attended a memorial service there for his late grandmother. President Bush is at Camp David.
Economic news later this hour. It's just a half day of trading on Wall Street, and Christmas is providing a boon for people who have to buy gasoline and oil. Oil is trading in the 30s, around $38 a barrel. So Jack Grace has created a holiday jukebox from hell. What can you do about that?
Hi, this is Michael from Eatontown, New Jersey. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Do You Hear What I Hear?
A song, high above the trees with a voice. As
the Vanessa Williams version there, 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Now, if it were you or me who were lending other people's money at the rate of, you know, $700 billion, $300 billion, $50 billion out to financial institutions all over the world, it might occur to you to actually write down who you were loaning the money to and what was securing these loans. But apparently, the transparency promised by the Treasury Secretary and the Fed Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke during the negotiations for the financial bailout has not materialized. A couple of months in, we actually don't know where much of the financial bailout money is going. Bloomberg News and the Fox Business Network have filed Freedom of Information Act requests for information. Fox has now filed an actual lawsuit. Dan Gross, senior editor of Newsweek, joins us now on the line from Connecticut. Dan, thanks for being a part of the program.
Good morning, John.
What is the mechanism for accountability here? And we've spoken as recently as about a month ago with some individuals on Capitol Hill who said that much of the mechanism for oversight wasn't in place yet but was getting there. It sounds as though nothing much has happened.
So, well, in theory, we were supposed to get updates from Treasury, Henry Paulson, and from the Federal Reserve, the two parties that are implementing this, and in practice, they have been less than forthcoming. I don't know if you mentioned it, but Bloomberg News and I believe Fox Business Channel have basically filed, Freedom of Information Act and other types of lawsuits trying to get them to disgorge this information. I think there are kind of three factors at work here. One, the Federal Reserve. There's a great book about the Fed called Secrets of the Temple. So they're accustomed to operating largely in secret and in privacy.
That's the William Grider book, right?
Yes.
It's about Volcker's period.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but this notion that, it's this kind of black box, you don't see what's going in there, there's no C-SPAN. They disclose what they want to disclose because they're this independent entity. A second thing you have is sort of the Wall Street arrogance, where it's the bank saying, we'll take the money, but we're not going to tell you what we're doing with it or how much we got because, this kind of legacy of arrogance and hubris. And the third is what I would call the kind of Jack Nicholson factor. If you remember A Few Good Men and the scene in the courtroom where he says, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
Remember that? Part of what's going on here is that the Fed and Treasury have basically taken on or lent against all these assets to these banks. And the fear is that if it was really disclosed to the market just how little a lot of these, junky mortgages and CDOs and funky securities, if the public and the markets at large knew precisely what they were worth, which would be a low number because there is no market for these now,
right?
That would cause a whole new series of freakouts and trigger the same type of situation we had in the spring where people, these financial institutions, suffer effective run on the banks. I'd compare it to, let's say this is something we could all understand. If we all bought condos in a building and we all paid $1 million and we all borrowed $800,000.
Mm-hmm.
We had these nice condos, and the market started going south, and we all thought that, maybe their value was down to $900,000. But nothing was really selling. And there was one guy who really needed to move, and he got his rich uncle to sort of buy his condo, but he was only able to sell it for $300,000. Now, everybody else in the condo, wouldn't want that information to get out there. Because all of a sudden that establishes a new market. If someone was only willing to pay $300,000, how could everybody else be valuing it at two and three times? And then you could imagine what would happen. The banks that lend to those condos.
But Dan, aren't we already there, though? That's the question. We know they're not worth anything near what they are on paper. And this lack of transparency just seems outrageous. Do you buy the argument that if you release the information, it signals weakness and therefore will make it harder for the economy to bounce back, the financial economy to bounce back?
I buy that, but I think our need as a great democracy, that one of the principles is that the people have some knowledge of where their money is going. I think that imperative outweighs the negative side. We've already told the world and told each other that the government is going to do whatever it takes to get us out of this mess. Several hundred billion dollar bailout, $1 trillion stimulus package, you name it. And so this notion that institutions and the market somehow can't handle the truth, I think, it would certainly be negative, but we've committed to dealing with the outcomes, and we've also committed, when you spend money without having taxes to pay for it, it's essentially a huge tax increase on people in the next few years or the next generation.
Well, let's talk for a minute about the numbers for a second. you know, I understand the sort of cultural argument that you're making, which explains the behavior of these folks, that they're used to secrecy, that when we hear we're doing everything to solve this crisis, whatever it takes, we're going to do. In fact, what they're hearing is more along the lines of, leave us alone. We're taking care of it. We don't want you in our way. That I get. But what are the numbers that we really don't know here? I mean, what checks have been written that are just kind of out there in the ether, Dan?
Well, it's not so much checks, because the TARP, right, that was the bailout legislation,
right,
passed in the fall, which gave the Treasury Department, you know, up to $700 billion. And that was where, you know, we went to each bank and say, okay, Chase, you take $20 billion, you know, First National, whatever, you take $500 million, et cetera. There has been some transparency in that. The question there is, okay, what are those banks now going to do with it? So that's the direct expenditures.
Right.
But at the same time, the Federal Reserve has been lending hundreds of billions of dollars through various programs and one-off arrangements, et cetera. And when they lend, it's not like, you know, you sign a mortgage and they give you money and I guess they have a claim against your house. When you lend, it's frequently against collateral. So, you know, I'm a bank. I have what I think are $100 million of mortgages, and I will present that. I will put that up as collateral, and they'll lend me, you know, some percentage of that. They'll lend me $80 million against the $100 million.
So the
that's been going on a very large scale.
And the Treasury believes that its lending component of all of this bailout is not subject to traditional accounting and congressional oversight?
That's kind of the message we're getting.
Dan, you're right. I can't handle the truth. You're actually correct on that.
You need me in that Federal Reserve, in that marble building.
I mean, Dan, we're talking about at least $2 trillion from what's been reported, and a lot of this money was prior to the bailout plan. So at what point are we as taxpayers going to be able to know exactly where all of this money is going?
Well, you would hope that when we have a new administration and a new Congress coming in, that there will be kind of more aggressive oversight and demands. I think part of what's going on here is that, we've talked about the motivations of the people involved. When you start to break down the politics, you know, who in Washington is going to stand up and get red in the face and scream about this? You know, it wasn't the Bush administration. It wasn't the Republicans, well, maybe some of the Republicans in the House and Senate who opposed this, but they're essentially powerless. And you look at who runs things on the Democratic side, you know, Chris Dodd, Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Frank Lautenberg. These are the senators from the states of financial services. They are very invested in the system and likewise. So to expect the head of the Senate Finance Committee to stand up and start cracking heads together about this, we might not get that from this crowd.
Lautenberg doesn't even want transparency. He lost a ton of money in the Madoff scandal. So, right. I mean, you can't really expect demands from him. All right, quickly before we go, is it possible that as we move out of the sort of emergency zone of this financial bailout and begin to write new rules for how to deal with this fundamentally new role for the Fed, that we're going to get some of these mechanisms in place and we're going to learn more of how the Fed is actually lending?
I would certainly hope so. You know, for decades, when the Fed was basically an independent agency, it's owned by its member banks. It doesn't necessarily get an appropriation from Treasury every year. And so its argument for the lack of transparency was, you know, we're not a part of the executive branch. We're not like the Treasury Department or the State Department. We don't have a line item budget that Congress, you know, we have this job to do. We're owned by the banks. We get our money from where we get it, and we do with it what we please because, you know, we're managing interest rates.
A hope for transparency is kind of a hope for the holidays in this new world for the Fed. Dan Gross, senior editor of Newsweek. Merry Christmas, Dan, and thanks.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.